you, Father. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done, everything you are doing in our midst today. Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here with us in the auditorium or watching us on the internet. Father God, we just thank you that as we go to minister your word, we thank you, Father, the word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and lives of each and every one of them. And Father God, we thank you that we just won't be a hearer of the word, but we'll be a doer of the word also. We thank you, Father, that these people will go to the highways and the byways and find people who are down and out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, Father. Father, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but in your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, right now for the anointing of God that's here, that's present this morning. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is in this room, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way. And we thank you, Father, for him giving us utterance to speak an uncompromised gospel of Jesus Christ with all boldness and all power. Father God, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, that they have plans and purposes, and Father God, that they'll fulfill those plans and purposes. And those that came with needs this morning, Father, we thank you that you're touching those needs right now, that you're touching those, that you're healing those folks, that you're working miracles in their lives. And Father God, we just thank you for mom and dad as they're on vacation. We thank you, Father, for giving them strength, giving them utterance, just rejuvenating their bodies. And we thank you, Father, that once they come back from vacation, they'll be ready to go proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Father, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing, both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated, amen. Amen. God's a good God. God's an amazing God. And I don't know if I really have a sermon this morning. I'm not sure exactly what you might call it, but I just want to talk to the church. You know, you guys are our believers. And how many were able to come to the Todd White meeting a little over a week ago? Amen. Number of you? Amen. Well, if you didn't make it, we're sorry. You can catch them online. I know it's archived, and I'm sure it's archived at rainbow.org. I know the Rainbow Vimeo channel has it archived. And, of course, you can see many of Todd's videos on YouTube. But, you know, I just want to kind of reiterate some things that Todd said, because he really talked about how to be a believer. He talked about what believers should do. And, you know, Todd's one of my good friends, and he's a great man. But he's this man that loves God. And you know, really, you know, if you were here, we had a full house. But Todd's not about going to preach to have a full house. And in fact, you know what, he'd be just as happy as a bug if he was just that man in Pennsylvania going to Walmart and ministering to people. Because he wasn't looking for a ministry, he was just trying to be a believer. You know, then opportunities come, they gave his testimony, and he started giving us, I mean, they said, well, preach. He goes, I'm not a preacher, I'll give my testimony. He gave his testimony and prayed for people, and God moved. But you know, let's turn our Bibles to the Great Commission. This is really the scripture that Todd was using, in Mark chapter 16, starting with verse number 15. I'll read the whole commission, then we'll go back and kind of look at it. It says, and he said to them, talking to Jesus, his disciples, said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, like I said, when Todd started out and you know, as a believer, You know, he overlooked the first thing. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now we preach a bunch about that. Obviously, I take that scripture literally. I travel around the world and preach the gospel. But you know, really, we could read it like this. Go into all the world and be the gospel. Live the gospel. Not all of us are preachers. Not all of us, you know, stand out at a pulpit. But it's not about standing at a pulpit all over the world. It's about ministering to a person one-on-one. But you realize the gospel is the good news. And one thing that Todd says a lot is he says, you know what, God's amazing. That's the gospel right there. You know, whenever he went to minister people at Walmart, he says, God wants to heal you. That's the gospel right there. You know, a lot of times we think the gospel is a long sermon. We think the gospel is something that, you know, some kind of long sermon. And you know, a lot of times people have really good sermons and there is no anointing. I mean, there is no anointing. I mean, you know, every one of you, how many of you have internet access? Some of you don't. Most of you probably do. Most of you probably have it right now on your phone. Some of you are using it right now as you're tweeting out all these great things I'm saying right now. Plus you're catching Pokemon or something like that. I'm joking. Anyway, if you have internet access, you can probably create a great sermon. There's plenty of them on the internet. You know, there's plenty of sermons out there. But, you know, that doesn't give you the anointing. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of full places today there'll be full houses. Some preacher will preach a good message and nothing will happen. You know, but it's not about a sermon, it's about the gospel. Yes. Now, you know, it is good to use visual aids. I should be better at it. But you know what? It's not the visual aids that heal people. It's not the fancy, you know, movies we show that set people free. It's Jesus Christ. And we probably all ought to be better at using some visual aids, but sometimes we're so good at using visual aids that we forget about the message. The message is Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He took stripes on his back to heal you. Died upon the cross to save you. And he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he cares about you and he loves you. And God sent his only son to do that for you. But you know, like I said, it says go to all the world, preach the gospel. Now here's the thing is, there's so many people. I mean, I know some of you probably went to Rhema. Some of you maybe are Rhema students. You know, and it's interesting. I read on Facebook all the time. Rhema graduates, they're all mad because they can't find a place to preach. They're all upset. They're all upset because they can't get their ministry taken off. You know, first of all, it's not your ministry. It has to be God's ministry. Second of all, do you know anybody? Or do you have a town? Do you have, I mean, there's always people that, you know, you could preach to. Whether they listen to you, I guess it's something or not. But, you know, but I think if we start living the gospel, opportunities to preach come. And I know Todd wasn't looking for an opportunity to preach. He just wanted to be a good believer. I just want to talk to us about being good believers today. How do we be a good believer? Because it says, it goes on to say, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he does not believe will be condemned. And yes, I believe we need to give people opportunity, you know, to get saved. But I believe that you got to get them to a point to want to do that. Got to give them a reason. Anyway, but it goes on to say, and these signs shall follow those who believe. Now, at that point, it doesn't say these signs will follow Christians. It says they shall follow. You know, shall also means will. These signs will follow them that believe. Well, what will follow them? It says, in my name they will cast out demons. Now, I know many people that if there's some kind of demonic situation going on, they're out the door. They're not looking to cast out any demons. They're looking to run from demons. But the Bible gives you the authority to every believer, not to every minister. Why? Because you have the greater one on the inside. Because you know the true answer. Because you serve the living God. See, what happens is that believers believe, for some reason, that they have to make these things happen. You don't make anything happen. That's why my favorite scripture is Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. It's all about God. And all about letting God happen. All about putting your faith in God and His power and His ability and His authority. And just sit back and watch them happen. You know, it goes on to say they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it won't by no means hurt them. And like I said, we don't really advocate taking up snakes or whatever. But if, for instance, you get bitten by a snake or a deadly spider or whatever, it doesn't have to hurt you because you've already been healed. And obviously, you know, we have scripture whenever Paul was bit by a viper, nothing happened to him. You know, I mean, he just shook it off. You know, when sometimes we get bit by things, sometimes it pulls us down, but just shake it off and move on. And that's the interesting part about it. I think more of us just need to shake some things off. What's happened is, because of circumstances that we've gone through, because of situations that's happened to us, we quit doing what we once did. We quit acting like a believer. Because, you know, a believer, these signs should follow them, it says. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. Jesus said that. These signs will follow them that believe. And the most important one, and the one that Todd always talked about a lot, it says they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, here's the deal. I know most of you probably kind of believe that because, you know, you come forward every Sunday morning to pray for a prayer cloth. But a lot of you are willing to pray for a prayer cloth, but you're not willing to pray for somebody that's sick. Or maybe you're willing to pray for them if they come to you. You know, but if you heard, you know, Todd's message the other night, he talked about, well, these are signs that follow believers. I'm a believer, right? I go to Walmart. He didn't say Walmart, but I know where it's where he went. This is a grocery store. He says, I go there and I see sick folks. So I ask to pray for them. Now, if you heard his what he talked about, he said, you know what? It took a long time before anybody actually got healed. But he kept praying for him. Now, people are trying to tell him, well, brother, they didn't get healed because of this. Because, you know, he didn't get frustrated because they didn't get healed. Because the Bible says to lay hands on them and they shall recover. Amen. His faith was in God, not in himself. Now, why they didn't get it, I don't know. Now, he also talked about his wife got pretty angry with him. But instead of griping at his wife, he said he went back to the back bedroom and he thanked God for his great wife. He didn't get angry with her. Just thank God. You know, you said you find a wife, find a good thing. And I found a good thing. And thank you, Father, for my lovely wife. Amen. And he kept praying for people. And he kept praying for people, and he kept praying for people, and he kept praying. You know what? That was the start of his ministry. You know what? If he would have stopped, that would have been the end of his ministry. That was the start of his ministry. He prayed for people. Now here's the thing. Most of us are think, well, how am I going to do that? I mean, you know, I'm going to go ask someone if they need prayer. Well, you have a little advantage. He was up in Pennsylvania. You know, I don't know how the people believe. Around here, most people kind of believe in God. Most people believe in the power of prayer. And most people, you know, at worst, I'm going to say, well, what could it hurt? Right. You know, I mean, he would search out people who were hurting. You know, if they're walking to Walmart and they couldn't, they're walking with a cane, he would go talk to them. He'd say, can I pray for you? And they're like, well, why? And he'd say, well, God's amazing and he wants to heal you. He would say, God loves you. You know, that was preaching the gospel right there. God loves you. He's amazing. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you. But his perseverance, they keep praying for people. And keep praying for people. You know, and he said it really, he kept waiting for God to move. But here's the deal. You know, the Bible just tells you to pray. It doesn't tell you to heal them. Do you understand that? And the reason a lot of people don't want to pray for people is because if they don't get healed, then they feel bad. But it didn't tell you to heal them. It tells you to pray. So, you know, your faith should be in God. Not in your ability to pray. You know, some people say, well, I can't pray because, you know, I don't pray real good. You know, I get tongue-tied or whatever. You don't have to have an awesome prayer to get people healed. I mean, there are people when they pray, I mean, they just have an incredible prayer. I mean, I don't, you know, me, I'm pretty simple. I just talk to God. I just say, hey God, this is what I need. You know, because I know my God speaks simple English. I know the Bible, you know, that most people read is written in the King James, but my God also speaks simple English. He understands it because he understands every language. You know, and I don't believe that I have to put on any kind of special thing to talk to my God. I don't put on any kind of special speech to talk to my parents. You know, I just talk to them like I normally would. And I think the thing is, sometimes, and I understand, you know, we have a reverence for God or whatever, but sometimes we just need to talk to God. Say, God, this is the deal. This is what I'm going through. It's what I need. And I'm trusting in you. You know, but one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, I have lots of favorite scriptures, but I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My grandfather, whenever he was having Holy Ghost meetings, he would read these. Every Holy Ghost meeting we had, he would read this. And it's interesting to read these words from Paul, because Paul was a very learned man. He went to school. He was very highly educated. But it's interesting what he said when it comes to preaching the gospel. I prayed this prayer a lot, actually, before I minister. I prayed a lot. It says, verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul said, you know, whenever I come to speak, I don't come to speak with human wisdom. It's not about human wisdom. It's not about how good I can speak. A lot of times I did it with fear and trembling. Because he wasn't confident in his own ability, the priest, but he said, you know what? I just come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when I do, the power of God shows up. So that we'll put our faith in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men, because it's not about how good you can pray. It's not about how good you can say something. It's not about how eloquent you can talk. It's about how good our God is. How powerful he is. And knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. And the reason most believers won't go out and do anything is because they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. They don't know that they have the power to do that. They don't understand, even though it's in the Word of God. You know, but the deal is, we talk about being a doer of the Word and not a hearer of the Word, but most of us still don't do the Word. You know, even when people confess those scriptures, they don't do the Word because, you know, people don't walk out and say, well, you know what? I wonder who I can minister to today. Now, many of you probably didn't listen to Brother Hagin as he taught, because he said that each and every day in his morning devotions, you know, he would say, Lord, make me a blessing to somebody today. Make me a blessing. So he never prayed that the Lord would bless him. He prayed that he'd always be a blessing. And I think that's, you know, one thing too, we need to watch our motives. What is your motive? I guarantee you, I know Todd. His motive was not to fill auditoriums. And in fact, he got his start on YouTube, on the street, going to talking to people and saying, hey, can I pray for you? People watch all those videos and then they begin to interview him and they begin to hear his testimony. He didn't try to have a ministry. He just tried to be a believer. You know what? How much could happen if we would just try to be a believer? What could God do through us? Because it's not about you doing anything. It's about God doing something through you. All you are is the hands and the feet. Because Jesus wants to minister to people who are sick. Yes, you understand he died for all mankind. He also took the stripes on the back for all mankind. Yes. Now, a lot of people, you know, what's interesting about it, that messes up your theology, because some of you think that you haven't got healed because you're not good enough. Because you're not a good enough Christian. Because you haven't done something, or you haven't given enough offering, or this, or whatever it might be. That's all a lie from the devil. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's how he's destroying a lot of Christians' lives, telling you you're not good enough. What do you mean you're not good enough? You were bought with a price. See, the reason you're not good enough is because you don't know who you are in Christ. You don't know that you were made worthy. That you are worthy. That you can come boldly to the throne and say, you know what? This is what I need. I'm hurting. I need this. Jesus loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, no matter what kind of mess of your life you've made. And that's the deal. A lot of times what happens is when I see Christians and something happened in their life and they made a mess of their life, and you know, so they're content for the rest of their life to sit around and be a barely get along Christian, sit in their pew, you know, and they're just glad they're making it to heaven. They're just excited to make it to heaven because that's as far as they're going to, you know, go. But if you're a believer, then you should want more than that. First of all, if you really are excited about what God's done for you, wouldn't you want to share that with other people? That's why I kind of wonder how excited some Christians are. A lot of folks don't seem too excited. They're not excited to share the good news. They're just barely getting along. And realize, it seems like some people, they want all God's power for themselves. Okay, God, I want you to bless me and my family, and everybody else, they can figure out themselves. You know, that's the reason why nothing's happening. Because you're stuck in your pew. You know, sometimes I always wonder why they call it the word pew, because that word kind of stinks. Then as I see some Christians sitting in it, maybe I figured it out. That's a joke, but sometimes it's true. You know, the thing about it is, sometimes we just need to get up and go be a believer. Amen. Go try God. Well, I don't know if it's going to work for me. Well, what is your doubt that you're actually a believer, or that your God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, or that it's His will to heal people? What's your issue? What is the issue? The issue is you're not a believer? Because you know what? God's word works.
Yes, it does.
You know, we all know what, you know, my grandfather's saying. God says it, I believe it, and settles it for me. You know, one thing that I mean, I'm just going to be honest, and he'll say the same thing. Todd's a very unlearned man. He didn't really have much education. But one thing he does is believe the Bible like it says. And sometimes that's the issue. We don't believe the Bible like it says. The Bible says only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. All things. Well, how are they possible? You just believe. You believe. See, you should believe that when you go out and you lay hands on someone, they're going to get healed. Why? Because the Bible says so. You also should believe that whenever you have a need in your life and you pray, it's going to happen. Now, people don't really understand is faith is having something before it happens. Do you understand that? And so your miracle is not going to come. It's already came.
Amen.
Yeah, but I don't see it because you're looking with your own eyes. It's not about what you see. You know, we're not moved by what we see. We're only moved by what we know. And we know that our God's a good God. Our God's amazing. Our God loves us. We know that our God sent His Son. And we know that He said that we're going to have an abundance, that He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And we know that He wants us to have a good life. And we know He wants us to be healed. And we know that there's nothing that we can't do through Christ.
Amen.
You understand? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But see, it's about knowing who you are in Christ. And that's the issue. Most people don't know who they are in Christ, so they can't identify with anything. You know, Jesus also said, the things that I did, and greater things shall you do, because they go to the Father. Well, you know, we look at the Bible, and we see that Jesus walked on the water, He turned the water into wine, you know, all the people, the miracles that happened. But Jesus said, not only should you do those things, but greater things. And why should you do greater things? Because you're really good and you're Superman? No. Is it because you know, whenever you walk the earth and everyone bows down? No. It's because our God is a good God. It's because everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. He gives us utterance to speak what we need to speak. He gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That wherever we are, Jesus is also. That we don't go in our own strength. We don't go in our own power. We don't go in our own might. But everything we do is with the power of God. And there's nothing means no thing. There's no thing that's impossible to my God. If there's no thing impossible to my God, there's no thing impossible to me through Christ Jesus. And we get all caught up on, well, I'm going through this and I'm going through that, and I don't know what to do. We have plenty of scriptures. Cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. You know, and I said this the other day, but I'm going to say it again because I'm running out of time. You know, Paul told Timothy, remember what Paul told Timothy? God has not given you a spirit of fear. You know, fear is one of the biggest obstacles to your faith. You know, and every time that I've been dealing with somebody, you know, trying to minister to someone, especially that's got some really, really bad news from the doctor, their first tendency is to fear. If you're afraid, you're not in faith. And I understand human emotion, natural tendency is to fear. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Fear doesn't come from God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, like Todd says, who cares who's against you? See, the problem is we need to understand that God is always for us. And the reason that we get afraid when we get bad news is we don't put our faith in our God. Why should you be afraid? Because your God is able. You're afraid because you're afraid that you might not know what to do. Well, what you do is you forget about yourself and let God. Say, God, I can't do this anymore. And you know, I've heard a lot of people say, I can't do it anymore. And I wish they would just stop. Stop doing. There's nothing that you can do that's going to make it any better. But if you let him do it, he can undo whatever you were trying to do. You know, we get our world in a mess sometimes. But God can undo it. He can change things in an instant. But you know, we have to quit being afraid. Man, when you're facing something that seems in the natural ways to be scary, you know, like, I don't know how. It's not about you knowing how, it's about you trusting in God. Yeah, but it looks like it's bad. Not about what it looks like. Not about what it sounds like. Yeah, I have a bad report. Whose report are you going to believe? We have plenty of scriptures for everything. The problem is we don't stand on the scriptures we have because we're so busy standing on the diagnosis that we're getting. And I understand facts, folks. I mean, you know, I did go to school. I mean, I do understand facts. And, you know, and a lot of times it is hard to override facts. The fact of the matter is this. But you know what? It's not about what the fact of the matter is. I never saw Jesus ministering, you know, whenever he is ministering to the blind man and said, well, you know what? The fact is you're blind. I'm not sure if I can heal you or not. In fact, I never saw Jesus ask anyone who came to him, you know, well, okay, are you a good believer? You go to church? How's your prayer life? Have you been given an offering? Did Jesus ask any of the questions? Not one time. Whenever people came to him in need, what did he do? He reached out and he touched them. Every time. Not one time did he say, no. You just don't deserve it. You know what? Because each and every time, Jesus wants to minister to you. In your need. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what has he given us? He's given us power, ability, authority. You know, there's a song where we sing, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. See, the power is not in our own strength. The power is in his name. In the name of Jesus, the demons tremble. They have to leave. In the name of Jesus, sickness has to go. In the name of Jesus, everything has to be put back in line. At that name. At that name. That's where the power is. It's not in your name. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care, you know, that people come and see you. It doesn't matter what you do. It's not about you. That's why you get frustrated, you know, sometimes whenever everyone's like, well, if you guys would have big name preachers, you'd have bigger crowds. So you're saying it's about the name, huh? You're saying it's about who, you know, who, what their name is? And in fact, you really just proved it. We just had Todd White, who's really not really a big name preacher, actually, filled the place up. Why? Because he was a good believer.
Amen.
He was a good believer. And people are looking for somebody to look at and think, you know what? I can be like that guy. Yes. My life was a mess like that guy. I can relate to him. Yes. And that's the deal. People just want to relate. Yes. You know, it's not about me being good and big and I am big. It's a fact of life. It's not about what I say. Not even about what I do. It's about who I am in Christ. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love. Love for one another. Love no matter what. And if you heard Todd preach the other day, he talked about, you know what, I love my wife no matter what. She was getting mad at me, but I still loved her. You know, it's hard to love people no matter what sometimes. But Jesus did. And the deal is, you got to show forth the love of God. And the only way to see the love of Jesus is to see the love of other Christians. And whenever you see other Christians, sometimes you don't see the love of Jesus. And that's the sad part about it. You know, the only way a non-Christian can see the love of Jesus is to see Christians who are supposed to be followers of Christ. And if they act like non-Christians, then why would I want to be a Christian? Unfortunately, that's a question I've asked myself many times. I've asked myself, you know, I'm not, you know, I've asked myself, if I was a non-believer, by looking at a lot of Christians' lives, I don't know if I would be a believer. And that's a sad fact, but it's the truth. Only way to change that is for us to walk in love. And you know, what's the interesting part about it is Jesus, the New Testament, you know, we have two commands, love and love. You know what I'm saying? You have two commands and they're both about love. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. And Jesus said the second one, to love people as much as you love God. This is what's important. Many people are good about loving God, but they're not good about loving people. It would say, but it's hard to love people because they do things, yeah, but they're people. People not perfect, and neither are you. You know, and some of you look at yourself and you're thinking, well, it's easy to love me now, but it wasn't always easy to love you before. You know, and some of you, I don't know, you just don't have an excuse at all. And I found out, the thing about it is, the more love you give, the more love that comes into you. Press down, checking together, and running over. People say, well, I'm just angry because everyone around me is angry. You know what, if you start being more loving, people will start responding the same way. But I guarantee you that love opens the door to minister to people. You know, I've heard people, I've asked me before, they said, you know, and here's the deal. I don't tell people right off the bat I'm a minister. I'm just Craig. In fact, I don't tell people what I do half the time. And I don't tell people, even when I am a minister, they say what I do. I don't tell them on my job. I'm not here to proclaim about myself. It's not about me. It's about God. You know, and so a lot of times people will say, why do you really care? Because I do. Because God cares. And the reason I care is because God cares. And because God cares, I have to care too. And we don't think about that a lot. The reason we love people is because Jesus loves them. In spite of their ignorance, in spite of my ignorance, in spite of what they do. But power, love, no fear, power, love, and a sound mind. That's the peace that passes all understanding. Sound minds meaning having peace no matter what. Even whenever you got a diagnosis that don't look very good, you walk in peace. You stand in peace because it's not about you doing anything anyway. I mean, as you know, I've been, you know, diagnosed with a rare kidney disease, and I read a little bit about it, didn't read a lot about it because I didn't want to read a lot about it because a lot of things I read about it weren't good. In fact, my wife read about it and said, you know what, most people that have this disease end up on dialysis and losing a kidney. I said, I don't care. I'm not about most people. See, the problem is that everyone wants to be about most people. You know, well, you know, and sometimes say, well, I've heard people even say, well, I got 10% chance to make it. Well, that's 10%, you know, that's a chance. You know what? But I don't care if you haven't been given a chance. It doesn't matter. Because we serve a God that's able to do miracles. But if you know your God's at work, you can have a peaceful mind regardless of what's going on. I haven't worried about it. You know, hadn't been easy, but you know what? I know my God. And there's nothing that I can do, absolutely nothing. You know, really, I mean, I can take some, there's a medication I can take. I'm doing everything I can do in the natural. Take some medication they say that might work. Although the two people I know that tried it didn't work for them. Doesn't mean I don't take it. I'm doing all I can in the natural. But you know what? My faith is not in my medicine, it's my God. It's all my money too, and God I trust. And God we trust. You know what? We got to start trusting in God. Going out, just being a good believer. Going out telling people about how good our God is. Going out ministering to people. Quit looking for some ministry and go out and start ministering. Like I said, Todd's ministry started at Walmart. Yours can too. Hey, Walmart's a good place. Do you know how many people I've counseled at this Walmart right here down the street? In fact, sometimes I just don't go there. I've counseled people, I've prayed for people. This Walmart right here. Right here, you know. And it's just, you know, there's, your ministry could start at Walmart too. Or wherever you are. The deal is quit looking to become somebody and find out who you are. Who are you? You're what Christ made you. You're victorious. You're worthy. You're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. You know what? If you know who you are in Christ, there's nothing that's going to stop you. There's no demon in hell. Any principalities of power and ruler from on high, they stand no chance. When you know who you are in Christ, there's nothing that stands a chance. The only thing that can stop you is for you not to know who you are and how to work it. If you don't know how it works is you just have faith in God. It's in God you trust. It's never about you. It will never be about you. It's not about what you might do. But it's always about what God can do through you.
Amen.
And with you. With God, you're more than a conqueror. With God, you're victorious.
Yes.
With God, you're the head, not the tail. With God, you're above and not beneath. With God, there's nothing that you can't do. Nothing means no thing. No thing. There's nothing you can't do without God. Know who you are. Know who your God is. And go out. Just be a victorious believer. I'm not asking you to be a minister. Just be a victorious believer. Telling people how good God is. And I tell you what, use that word that Todd uses. That word amazing is he would walk up to people and say, I just want to tell you that you're amazing and God's amazing. You know, when you tell someone they're amazing, it just I don't know, something about that word. But our God is amazing. And people are amazing because, you know, we were created in God's amazing image. Man, go out and be a believer. Go out and be a doer. Be a doer of God's word. Quit sitting on your rear end. I didn't say butt, I said rear end. Quit sitting on your rear end and just get up and go do something. Go tell people how good God is. If you see people that are sick, go minister to them. See people that are hurting, go minister to them. You know, how hard is it to say, you know what? Can I pray for you? I see you're struggling over here. You know, they can say no. That's fine. Now, Todd, he didn't take no, you know, very lightly. He kept on persuading. But ultimately, you know, don't get those cops called on you. If they say no, just leave them alone and go on. God's a good God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And Father God, I know today probably wasn't a real sermon, but Father God, help us to understand how good that you are and how much you love us. And Father, we thank you that each and every person here will get a reality of who they are in Christ Jesus and get a reality that's not about them doing anything, but about Christ in them, going out and ministering to people. Father, we thank you. Help us to spread love. Help us to spread peace and joy and all those things that you want us to do. But Father God, we thank you right now if anyone is here today and they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that they won't leave this place when it's about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You talk about knowing who we are in Christ, but I don't know Christ. And I want to this morning. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I know what it is to walk with Christ. I've done it for a long time, but then I turned my back and I went away. And today, publicly, I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. If you've never been saved or you want to rededicate your life this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe here this morning you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never received that, you can this morning. I tell you what, it's an extra endowment for power from on high. If that's you, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, lift your hand, we want to pray with you. So if you're here today, you want to be saved, you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, or you want to be filled with the Spirit, let's lift your hand across the auditorium where we're looking. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, right now for just being with them. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is not saved, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you for everything that you have done, everything you are doing, in both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, before we go, Pastor Bill is going to come up here. Got a special announcement. Amen. God bless you guys and go out and be a good believer.
Praise God. Amen. You can clap. That's all right. Let's praise God. All right. Just before we go, since Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are not here, we're going to receive a second offering for them. Pastor's birthday is coming up September 3rd. Of course, you know, Scripture says, you already know, the Bible says, you know, first Timothy 5:17, those elders who rule well, who lead well, worthy of double honor. And so certainly that's true. But first, you know, church, we just want to commend you. This is such a giving church. And you just give and give and give. And we honor you for that. We thank you for that. We recognize that. You've just led us over the top with our Isaiah project. And but how many know we don't want to leave the man of God on his birthday without an adequate birthday gift? Somebody says, well, you know, you always give cash. Why don't we just keep giving him cash? You know, I'm like that. Look, my kids, you know what I mean? I give them all little gifts, but I just give them cash. Their birthdays and Christmas, I give them, you know what? I don't know what they want. They always ask, they text me, Dad, what do you want for your birthday? You know, I text them back. I don't know. They come over, just give me cash. I go get what I want. So it's the same thing. We don't know what Pastor wants. How do you buy somebody something and you don't know what he wants? So we just let him go and get whatever he wants. And that's the best way. That way you know he's happy with whatever he got. If he ain't happy after that, it's his fault. So we want to be a blessing. So listen, you can text to give if you'd like to text 28950. Put in, what do you put in there? I think you put Hagen in there. Just put, hey, 28950. Put in Hagen space the amount you'd like to give. Give the kiosk. Give with an offering envelope. This is one of the few times on a Sunday morning when Pastor's not here that we can do this. That's why. So we want to get the bulk of his birthday gift right now today if we can. And then we'll let you give as you're able. And if they're here, don't say anything about it. We'll just silently give when they're here. But again, this is something they don't care that we do. They would rather us not do it. And but that's all the more reason we want to do it. We want to bless them. We want to love them. So, all right, enough said there. Everybody all ready? Let's just go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the pastors you've set over this house. Thank you, Father, for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Thank you for Pastor, the way he labors for this church. And through prayer, through ministry, through all of the various ways he ministers on behalf of this church, Father God, we thank you for his heart. And we thank you for this offering now for him. Pray you'll bless him real big on his birthday. In Jesus' name, amen. If you wouldn't move, just let these ushers get the offering out of the way. And I would say these are the fastest ushers this side of heaven. So let them do their good work. They do it well. They'll get it right out of the way, and we'll get you right out of here. While we're saying that, if you're a first-time guest here, you came in today, you're a first-time guest, we have a great gift for you. And if our connection team members would move now, the same folks who handed you the information at the beginning of the service, if you're a first-time guest, they're going to take you to a special place not to keep you there long. They're not going to keep you there long. They're just going to give you a great gift. You will be glad you went with them. Let's applaud for all of our first-time guests. Amen. Praise God. All right, stand up on your feet, church. They're almost done. They're almost done. Let's let these ushers get through. They're moving quick. They're moving quick now. All right, lift one hand to the Lord. Father, thank you now. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you for imparting that word in all of our hearts. Now unto the King, immortal, eternal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, well, the pastors are going to go to the door to shake hands, and Rich is going to dismiss us. God bless you.
Come on, declare this word. Say the word. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Amen. Come on, sing that again. Let that be a part of your life for all this week. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.